Well, listen, guys, Luke 2 is where we're going to be. So if you want to be turning to Luke chapter number 2, and I want you to pray for the Peruker family. Some of them are in the 8:30, and I know some are here in this service. They lost a dear saint of God. Steve's wife of 52 years, Nancy, went home to be with the Lord this week. And that happened on Tuesday. Services were yesterday, and the family is here worshiping God today. Isn't that a testimony? I mean, what a testimony that is. And so I want us to pray for them because this is very difficult for them. Holidays will be very bittersweet. And so Nancy was quite a lady. In fact, I'm going to share something with you that that had kind of come out during the service yesterday. I'm going to do it in my message, though, but let's just pray for the family right now. Would you do that with me? Lord, we love you, and we come before you, and we pray for the Peruker family that you will comfort their hearts and encourage them right now. Lord, what a testimony that they are worshiping their God even after all that they went through yesterday. And Lord, we pray for them that their faith will be strong. And Lord, that they will take great hope and great assurance in knowing that Nancy is more alive than any of us here. Lord, she has laid hold on eternal life. She's enjoying heaven and Jesus. And Lord, we know that Nancy is with you. And we know that you promised that if we believe in you, Jesus will never die. So, Lord, we know she just changed locations. There was never a moment where she was not alive. And so we thank you, Lord, for her presence with you. And, Lord, we pray now that you will do a mighty work and root our hearts, because I know there's other hurting people here this morning, Lord, and the holidays are very bittersweet for many. And so, Lord, it's a tough time. It can be a very depressing time. So I pray you'll encourage our hearts. The only hope, really, of encouraging us is we have to have some truth to root and base our lives on. So God, give us that truth today. Do a mighty work through your word and through this awesome story about this elderly man named Simeon. Speak to our hearts, Lord, through what he said and what you gave him and what you've recorded for us here in the Bible. So God, teach us, instruct us, and help us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, in a few days, Christmas is going to be over. And a lot of people will be depressed because it can be a down feeling. Let's face it. Let's be honest. It's like the celebration's over, you know, and now we got to get on with life, normal life again. And it can be very tough. And, you know, if you add to that a loss like what the Perukers have been through, it can be a very difficult time. And, you know, but I want to go back to this. We have to remember what Christmas is really all about. Would you guys agree with me? Christmas is a celebration of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what it is about, you know? And here's the thing. If you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you can celebrate Jesus Christ all year long. It doesn't just have to be on Christmas Day. In fact, there's a verse on the screen here that I love, 1 Peter 2:9. He says, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a peculiar people." Then he says to God's people, he says, you're to show forth, that you should show forth the praises of him. And by the way, that phrase, show forth, if you look it up, it literally means to celebrate. He says that you should show forth, literally, that you should celebrate the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 2019's right around the corner, man. I'm going to tell you something. We need to be celebrating Jesus all year long. And I want you to think about that. Why not make this next year? It's just about a week away now. Why not make this coming year a year in which you celebrate Christ every day? Not just at Easter, not just Christmas, not just a holiday. Christ becomes part of your everyday life. And that's what he wants. He wants you to walk with him, talk with him, worship him, seek him every day of your life. You can talk to him as your best friend. He wants you to walk with him as your best friend every day of your life, celebrating his praises every single day. Listen, you don't just talk to your loved ones, people that are special to you, family, friends. You don't just talk to them on their birthday or their holidays, do you? Can you imagine if Denise, my wife of 31 years, came up to me to talk to me and I went, "Don't talk to me. It's not your birthday. It's not Christmas. Don't talk to me." You know, no, I want to talk to her every day, right? And in the same way, Jesus wants you to celebrate him every day. He wants you to celebrate your faith in him, celebrate your trust in him, celebrate him and who he is and worship him, and he wants you to celebrate him every single day of your life, you know? And every single person in here, you have the capability and the ability and the privilege of being able to celebrate Christ all year long. How can we do that? Well, Luke 2, and I'm not going to go to the familiar passage where Christ is born. I actually am going to go to a passage beginning in verse 25, and this is 8 days after the birth of Christ. So it's right around his birth, but it's 8 days later. So let's go to verse 25, and I want to introduce you to a very interesting character, an old man by the name of Simeon. Let's look at this, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And it says, the same man was just and devout. He's a really good man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Wow. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. So God's Spirit revealed to him that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And so note it, he's in the temple waiting. He knows something's going on. Then the parents, they brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. And then it says, took he him up. Simeon takes up Jesus in his arms. This old man takes Jesus in his arms, and he blessed God. And he said, Lord, now, he said, let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. He said, he's talking about Jesus. He said, he's a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. This old man, Simeon, is in the temple. He's sitting there waiting. And all of a sudden, Mary and Joseph come in with Jesus. And he knows that's it. That's the Messiah. That's the Christ. And he takes him up in his arms. And he utters these incredible words, which, I mean, this guy figured it out, man. He was celebrating Jesus, not just on his birthday. He was celebrating Jesus 8 days later. He was celebrating Jesus. Man, don't y'all think we ought to be like Simeon and celebrate Jesus, amen, every day. And this guy is so enamored, you know, with Jesus. He's so taken, just completely awestruck with Jesus. And some of you are like Simeon to me. You know, you guys, and I don't want to leave the ladies out. Some of you are Simeonesses or whatever it is, ladies. Simeonesses. There we go, Simeonesses. I just made a word up, Joe. You like that? That's good. But some of you are like Simeon to me. It's like some of you, when I'm around you, it's like you are completely like just celebrating Christ in your life every day. And it's such a testimony. Simeon is an old guy that really teaches us some great stuff here about how to celebrate Jesus. We get some incredible insights here, and I want to learn from him today. The first thing I want to learn from him is this. If you want to celebrate Christ all year long, number one in your handout, it says you must find your peace in Christ. You have to find your peace in Jesus Christ. You know, what did we read? He takes him up in his arms. He looks up to God, and the first thing he says is, Lord, okay, now I can depart in peace. Because I've seen him. I've got Jesus now. I know Jesus. I've seen Jesus. And it's like, okay, I got Jesus now. I can go in peace. And as you read that, it's like, whoa, man, this guy's peace obviously was wrapped up in Christ. His peace was not in a job, in his health, in a savings account, in material possessions. His peace was found in the one that the Bible refers to as the Prince of Peace. Christ is the one who one day is going to usher in peace to this war-ravaged planet that we live on. And that's, by the way, he alludes to that when he talks about the consolation of Israel. He's talking about how that, you know, you guys know how you read the news and see the news, how that the Mideast is in constant turmoil over there. Well, he is the consolation. In other words, Jesus is going to bring peace to the craziness of this earth. Jesus is going to one day return as the Prince of Peace. He's going to bring peace to the chaos that this planet has right now. But that's future. But today, What he's doing is he's doing in people's hearts what one day he's going to bring to the entire earth. He's bringing peace to individuals' hearts today. Peace. You know, are you at peace with God? That's a great question. Are you at peace with God? Are you? Are you? I'm just asking. Do you really feel an internal peace today? You know, or is there some chaos in your soul? Do you feel there's some confusion, some chaos? Are you at peace? Are you at peace? There's a great verse I love. It's one of my favorites. It's probably top five verses that in the Bible for me. I love it because of the simplicity and the clarity. Look at it with me. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified, being made right with God by faith, we have, and I love that next phrase. Say it with me. We have what? Peace with God. How do we get it? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody in here bumper sticker readers? You like to read bumper stickers? Come on. You're in church. Admit it. You got to be careful with that. Amen. But there's some good ones. And there was one that I read years ago that always stuck with me that I never forgot. It was very impactful to me when I read the bumper sticker. And because it's rooted in Scripture, it's based on really a verse like this. I'm going to go ahead and bring it up. The bumper sticker said, "No Jesus, no peace." And then under it, it said, "No Jesus, no peace." K-N-O-W. And I said, wow, that's in a nutshell, right? If you don't have Jesus, you can forget about peace. But if you know Jesus, then you know peace with God. Jesus made it possible for you and I as sinners to be at peace with a holy God. How did he do it? Well, right there. By his sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Look in your handout, Colossians 1, 20 and 21. Doesn't that make it pretty clear? Look at it. It says, "And having made peace," how did Jesus make peace? Through the blood of his cross. "By him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated." And you were enemies in your mind by wicked words. You were an enemy of God, alienated. Yet now has he reconciled. Look at the next verse, Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off," you were far away from God. He said, Jesus has made you near. He's made you near to God. How? By the blood of Christ. And then what's the next phrase say? Say it with me. "For he is our peace." Say it again. "For he is our peace." Listen. True peace is not going to be found in gift wrapping under the Christmas tree. True peace will not be found in your stuff. True peace is not going to be found even in your spouse or your friends. Nothing wrong with any of those things. Peace is only found, though, through a relationship with Jesus Christ and daily walking and talking with him. And Christ can fill your heart with peace even if you're going through a storm. The disciples were in a boat. Jesus was asleep. And all of a sudden, the waves start crashing against the boat, and the sea was raging, and it was a horrible storm, you know. And they're afraid they're going to die. And Jesus comes and wakes up, and he says, "Peace be still." And all of nature just calmed down. There was tranquility. There was peace. And that's what Jesus can do with your heart today. Hey, if he can do it with nature, can he do it with your heart? Yeah. And here's the deal. He not only gives peace with God. See that? That's when you get saved. That's when you trust Christ. You are at peace with God. Never will he condemn you again. You're at peace with God the moment you get saved. But you know what? Not only does Jesus give peace with God, the Bible talks about him giving you the peace of God. The peace of God is something he gives believers that walk and talk with him each day, that seek him, that find their peace in him. And man, if you've got Jesus, and by the way, once you're saved and you know the Lord and you're at peace with God, can you still have storms rage in your life? Yes or no? Can Christians encounter storms? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But if you have Jesus in the boat, right here, Jesus is in the boat, he gives you the peace of God. And I was going to share this. I asked Steve if I could share it, and Steve Peruker, and he said yes. But yesterday at the service, he said something that really impacted me greatly. Nancy found out that she only had weeks to live. And I wish all of you could have talked to her and known her, just the graciousness and the kindness and with which she spoke, even knowing this, that she was dying. And Steve said in the service yesterday that Nancy made the comment to him. She said, I know that I should be upset, and part of me wants to be able to be upset for you guys and for my family. She said, I know I should be upset. But she said, I just can't break through the peace of God to get upset. Whew. What a powerful statement. She said, I can't break through the peace of God to get upset. It's like, wow. He really is the Prince of Peace. Amen, church? He gives the peace of God. If you'll seek him and celebrate him every day like Simeon, he'll give you the peace of God. Find your peace in him. If you're not saved, trust him today. Become a believer today. Take Jesus into your heart today. And then once you do that, seek him every day. Celebrate him every day. Walk with him every day. And he'll not only give you peace with God, he'll give you the peace of God. The second thing we learn from Simeon is there in verse 30. Look at that. Verse 30, he said, my eyes have seen your salvation. He's got Jesus in his arms. He looks at Jesus and he says, okay, Lord, I've seen your salvation. He knew salvation was wrapped up in Christ. I want you to write that word in your handout, because that's the second point, is that if we're going to celebrate Christ all year long, we have to find our salvation in him. Now, I think doctrinally, Simeon's referring to the time period in which Christ is going to one day bring salvation or deliverance to this earth. You say, wait a minute, deliverance to the earth, deliverance from what? Well, deliverance from the curse of sin, which the earth is under right now, deliverance from the dominion of Satan. Satan's called the prince of this world. Satan has established his evil world system on this planet, and that's why it's such a mess, you know? And one day Christ will return to the earth, and he's going to literally return. The Bible says he has a name written on his thigh, King of Kings, when he comes back. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's literally going to come back, and the government will be on his shoulder. He will rule the earth. He will rule as king. And there's going to be salvation or deliverance brought to the entire earth. And maybe you've heard the Lord's Prayer, right? What's part of the Lord's Prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done, where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. When Christ comes, he literally brings the righteousness of heaven down to the earth with him. But today, he's not doing that. Today, he's the exile king. Remember, the world said, we don't want you. Away with him. Crucify him. We don't want him. So today, he's functioning as an exile king in heaven, because the earth didn't want him. And what he's doing is he's interceding for us, and he's offering and bringing salvation to individuals' hearts today. He's saving people. He's saving individual lives from destruction. He is delivering individuals from the bondage of Satan and from the bondage of their sin. Look at the screen up here. Galatians 1:4 says that Christ gave himself for our sins. Why? That he might deliver, save us from this present evil world. Look at the next one. Christ said, Paul, I want you to go out with the good news of me. Why? To open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, Jesus said, that's in me. Are you thankful today? You know what? Today, Christ is setting people free. Amen? And in your handout, it says there's no other place to find salvation and righteousness before God other than Jesus Christ. There's no other place to find salvation and righteousness before God other than Jesus Christ. Now, right away, and by the way, let's bring up a verse, Acts 4:12. Look at this verse. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. They're talking about Jesus in the context. There is none other name. We sung earlier, what a beautiful name. What a wonderful name. What a powerful name. They said there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now that goes against the grain of some people, what God said here about Jesus being the only way of salvation. Because, you know, here in America, we're accustomed to multiple choices, right? We love choices. I mean, I can't stand it when Denise says, okay, honey, I know you can handle this. I'm going to send you to the store to get one item, just one simple item. Okay? Can you get that right? One item, all right? I just realized I don't have any barbecue sauce. Go to the store. Just get barbecue sauce. One item. You can't mess that up. So I go to the store. I look at the aisle, and I'm faced with a million barbecue sauces. There's 12 different brands. Which brand does she want? And not only are there different brands or different sizes, does she want a little bottle? Does she want a big bottle? Does she want a jumbo size bottle? And then I'm faced with, okay, what flavor? Does she want honey barbecue? Spicy barbecue? Tangerine flavored barbecue? Banana flavored barbecue? I'm making that up, all right, but you get the point, right? We like choices in America. But I'm going to say this now, there are no multiple choices when it comes to God's salvation. There's one solution for sin. God has mercifully provided an answer. He doesn't owe it to us to give us 10 answers. No, God has mercifully provided an answer to our sin problem, so that we can be at peace with God and have salvation. And we can either accept it or reject it. But there's only one solution for sin, and that's Jesus. There's one way of salvation. There's one way of heaven. Now, before you say, oh, that's closed-minded. Oh, you know, that's just so narrow-minded. Well, that idea of being one way of doing it, that's not totally foreign to us either, though, is it? I mean, we're used to that concept when it comes to very important matters. For example, if you want to get legally married and you want to get married legally, there is a license that you must fill out, and you must fill it out a certain way, and you have to mail it into a certain place. I know, because I'm the one that usually mails those in. If somebody says, "But I don't like that license. I want a different one." Or they say, "I don't like filling it out that way. I don't like that question they asked me. I don't want to give them that information." There's one license, one way. You want to drive a car, you got to have a tag. Right? There's a certain place you go to get a tag. There's a certain way you get it. You say, "I don't like having to get a tag for my car. I don't agree with that. You know, and I don't agree with the amount they're charging me for that tag. And I want to make my own tag for my car." No. If you want to drive and you want a tag, there's one way to do it. So we're used to that concept. Something as important as the salvation of your soul, going to heaven, living forever with God, doesn't that make total sense that there'd be one way to go about it? Doesn't that make sense? There'd be one way to secure that? One clear path, one way, no confusion. God says, "No, I don't want any confusion." Jesus said, "I am the way." Not a way. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." This is the way, no confusion, one clear path. Jesus said, "I am the way." So you can be saved today through your faith in Jesus Christ. In your handout, look at that verse, 2 Timothy 3:15. It says, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. How? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Once you find salvation in Christ, guess what? You can celebrate Christ all year long. Well, this old man Simeon has taught us that if I want to celebrate Christ, man, I got to find my peace in Christ. I need to find my salvation in Christ. But there's one more thing he hit on, and I want you to look at it with me. Look at verse number 32. He said about Jesus, as he held him in his arms, you're a light. He said, Jesus, you are a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. In your handout, it says number 3, if we want to celebrate Christ all year, we have to find our light in Christ. Again, this is, I believe, a reference to the future, when it's prophetic, when Christ is literally going to light the entire earth. His glory and majesty is going to light up eternity. In fact, Revelation 21 says that Christ will so much light eternity, there'll be no need of the sun, because Jesus will be the light thereof. Well, today, the world is said to be lying in darkness, but Christ is lighting up individuals' hearts and souls today. Jesus, Satan is said to be the ruler of darkness, but notice what Jesus said. Look in your handout. I love this. I love this verse. He said, John 8:12, then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm going to make a statement here. It's in your handout. Jesus can take any person out of darkness and bring light to their soul. Do you believe that? And Christ would love to do that for you today. But first you have to recognize that you're in darkness, that you need Christ, that you need light. And when you call upon him, he brings light to your heart and soul. Man, I remember when I was in darkness, I didn't have a clue, man. And I remember the day that Jesus brought light to me. Then after you're saved and you have the light in you, now you can seek him every day, and he gives you light to make good decisions in your daily life. Do you want to celebrate Christ all year long? What does Simeon teach us? Well, find your peace in him. Find your salvation in him. Find your light in him. This old man Simeon has taught us a lot. This man was captivated by Christ. Like I said, many of you are that way. I just sense when I'm around you that you love Jesus, that you're captivated by him. And some of you in here, when I'm around you, I sense such an inner peace in your life. You know, there's not that turmoil, not always upset about something, and always just that peace, just that peace surrounds you. Because you're like Simeon. You're not perfect, no more than he was, but you're truly in awe of Christ daily. You know, and peace, salvation, and light, all found in Christ. Those are precious commodities. Would you guys agree? Those are great. Those are precious commodities. Amen? And you know what? You're not going to find them for sale. Like we talked about last week, peace, salvation, and light. You're not going to find those on sale at Walmart. You're not going to see them at the mall. You're not going to see it at the pavilion. You're not even going to find them for sale on Amazon.com. They're found in Christ. They're a free gift, but a gift must be received. When you receive Christ, you receive all those wonderful gifts. You know, I was thinking about this morning. Really, the only way, you know the only way to miss out on a gift? Only way you can mess that up, the only way you can mess up missing out on a gift is to just simply reject it, refuse it. Just say, nope, I don't want it. That's the only way you can mess that up, is just refuse it. This morning I found a big bag of freshly roasted coffee beans on my desk. Pastor Rob, there's a place in town that roasts beans, and he knows I love it, and he had Merry Christmas on there. Isn't Pastor Rob a good guy? Amen. Can I submit to you, I am not going to reject that gift. I may share it, but I'm not going to reject it. And the only way to mess up a gift is just reject it. Today, Christ is offering you himself. And when you receive him, you receive the gift of eternal life. The only way to mess that up is just close your heart off and say, nope, I don't want you. But if you will open up your heart and receive him today, he'll give you all these things we talked about. And in your handout says you can celebrate Christ all year long. You then have that ability to be able to celebrate him all year long, like Simeon. And so why don't we do this? Let's just bow our heads right now and close our eyes.